It's John chapter 15 tonight. I wonder, barring the coming of Jesus, I wonder if we come back 10 years from now, who will be here? Do you think you will be here? Unless barring moving out of town or country or whatever it may be, will you still be coming to church? Will you still be faithful? This morning we preached and we shared a thought or two. I want to kind of continue with the signs of the time. I want to earmark it more toward us. I was talking to Brad this afternoon about pruning some trees. We were talking about pruning and the importance of pruning them before the sap comes up and getting fruit. You know, when you don't prune them, you don't get the fruit that you normally would get. Sometimes you get stray fruit, sometimes you get some, but you don't get near the fruit that you do when you take time to prune. So many times I get so busy that I fail to do that with the apple trees, especially because they're so high up. It's such a job to try to prune them now. But when I take time to do that, the harvest is so much more bountiful. Begin reading, if you would, in John chapter 15, verse number 1. Familiar scripture. I just really want to focus upon one word here in a moment. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every man in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now notice that in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now listen to me a minute. I get this argument all the time for people that doesn't come to church and quit church. And I can live just as good out there as I can in church. Jesus said that he died for the church. Forsake not yourselves the assembling yourselves together. The word church means assemble together of like believers. It's the assembly of believers together. Why do we need that? We need it because, as we talked about before, the church is his body. He works through us. You want to know Jesus' hands? These hands. You know Jesus' feet? Those feet. You know Jesus' support for missions? Our support. You know what keeps the work going here? Us. Somebody said, well, I'm praying that God will meet our needs. He meets our needs through us. We are the vessels, being faithful, abiding in him. So therefore, what we need to understand is that without him, we can do nothing. And I do believe this. I believe a lot of these big name TV evangelists and so forth are nothing but fruitless frauds. What they are peddling is not of God. I believe God works through the church. And I don't believe that he works to make one man or one group of people, extremely rich, while taking advantage of everybody else. I don't believe that. And you can go in some of these places and some of these big TV evangelists, and they live like rock stars. They have billions and millions of dollars, and they waste it, and they fly on jet planes. And one of them I read the other day had 4, 5, 6 jet planes, one another one, because those don't go fast enough for him. And he tried to explain to a reporter why that was the will of God for him to pay $68 million for another jet plane. Verse number 5. And by the way, you don't abide in him, you can't bear fruit. You got to be attached to the vine. Don't believe it? Go out there and cut a branch off and lay it there beside the tree. See how well it performs. And since Jesus is head of the church, and since the church has been given the commission to preach the gospel to the whole world, when you're not part of the church, you're not part of the Lord's work. I believe that to be true. Look in verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them up, and cast them into fire, and they are burned. Now some people think that means losing your salvation and being cast into hell. But I believe that goes back to fruit. And I believe it's where our fruit, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if we're saved, our fruit, everything that we've done will be burnt, the Bible says. Our works will be burnt. It will be wood, hay, and stubble. And it'll burn up and be cast into fire, and they'll be burnt, and we'll be without anything to offer Christ. Because we wasn't abiding in him, we wasn't connected in him, and so therefore we wasn't continuing him, we was trying to do things on our own. And so when we did that for our own purpose, our own glory, our own praise, our own whatever, then what we do is we've lost contact with him. Amen. If you are going to bear fruit, it's got to be for the glory of God. He doesn't share his glory with no man. That's why we are saved by his grace, is because therefore no man can boast before God of who and what they are. They are there because of the grace of God. Every man that will be in heaven will look God in the face and say, I'm here because of your grace and your mercy. Nothing more, nothing less. I can add nothing else to it. Look on, if you would, in verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may, or that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now the word abide means to continue. It means to dwell, to endure, to remain. It means pretty much the same thing. But notice that he says, continue ye in my love. And if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. In other words, you want to have fullness of joy, you've got to be abiding in Christ. Nothing any more pitiful, except for a lost person under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost about being lost and dying, going to hell. The only thing more that's the only thing more miserable than to be saved and yet be out of the will of God, be out of contact, out of fellowship, not abiding in Christ, and have no joy. You can't find joy in nothing. You can't have joy in the world. You can't have joy in yourself. You can't have joy in your family. You can't have joy anywhere. Look in verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do so whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth what, not what till his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Now, let me take you one more place real quickly in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We find the word abide again, and I want to deal with that thought of abiding in Christ. To abide in him. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. Now, let me say this. The word of God cannot be corrupted. Hear me? If you have something that's corrupted, it's not his word. It's somebody, what somebody else has put together. You follow what I'm saying? God's word is not corrupted. It will not perish. It's forever settled in heaven. It cannot die. It is alive. The Bible says the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God cannot die. It cannot cease to exist. It cannot corrupt. Look on in verse 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and what? Abideth forever. It means that he is forever connected with God. And in other words, his word will always work what it's intended to do. The Bible says it will not return void, but it will accomplish what God has intended it to do. Why? Because it's alive. The word of God is so great. Now, let me give you a few things tonight, and I want you to think about, will you continue to abide? I'm going to give you some things that you got to have if you're going to abide. Why have so many people dropped aside? Let me show you a few verses. Stay with me, and let's go to the Bible a few places real quickly. John chapter 8. Turn quickly, because I'm not going to spend any time. John chapter number 8. If you're going to continue in Christ and continue in the vine, it is imperative. Look in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? Continue in my what? In my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now listen to me. If you don't continue in the word of God, you will cease to abide in Christ. The word of God is so important in our life. We never need to do away with the preaching. And I know sometimes you say, well, we could have better preaching. Well, you probably could. But we need to preach the word. People that comes here, they say, what do you require when we come? I said, preach the word. Stay in the book. I'm not interested in all your opinions. I'm interested in the book. Preach the book. Stay in the word. Stay in the King James Bible. Somebody said, well, that offends me. Well, listen, I could take the other versions that came around 300 years after King James Bible come around, and I can show you where they've changed words and passages, left them out, changed them all together. They say things that the King James Bible don't say. They all can't be the word of God. You need to learn, and as a fellow come the other day that taught on King James, if you learn where those manuscripts, where the manuscript came from, and all the other versions would start at 1901, that started from that point on, the American Standard Version, and on up, you'll find they dug them out of a trash can. They added to them, they corrupted them, and that's why they're called the corrupted text. This is the incorruptible word of God. It's alive. God preserves it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's alive, quick. That's why we preach the word. So listen to me. If I ever leave here, you ever have anybody else come, if they're not going to stay in this book, get rid of them. Understand what I'm saying? Never keep anybody in this pulpit that doesn't stay in the book. Because for you to continue to abide in him, you have to stay in his word. That's why it's important to be in the Bible. And by the way, you need to spend some time in the Bible. You need to get off the phone so much and get in the Bible some. There's a lot of things in the Bible that would help you. And we don't spend near the time in the Bible that people used to spend because we have all these other gadgets to track their time. That's why the Bible says in latter times, knowledge shall increase. Did you ever believe that this little thing here, what we can reach and how far we can reach and what we can do with this little thing right here? Every time I have a problem at home, I don't know how to fix it. I get on here and it shows me how to fix it. It's amazing. And it's amazing to be able to go in and dig up and see and watch and hear. It's amazing the knowledge there. But you'll not continue if you get out of this. If you quit making this part of your life, you'll drop by the wayside somewhere. Second thing that you need to continue with, kind of goes along with it, turn if you would to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn quickly. Look, if you would, in verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known that the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He goes on and lets us know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it was God-breathed, and it's there for a reason. Therefore, he tells us that on down chapter 4 and verse 2 to preach the word. Why? Because verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what am I getting at? We need to continue in sound doctrine. Sound doctrine means spiritually healthy doctrine. Doctrine that's good for you. Doctrine that make you wise, healthy. You know, some people eats nothing but garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. And they have a poor diet. You want to be physically fit, you've got to figure out a diet that's healthy, that's good for you. And the Word of God, that's what sound doctrine is. It's a healthy diet for a Christian. Look on, if you would, to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter number 13, the Bible reminds us something else that we need to be continue in. Bible says in verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in what? Whenever you forget, now listen to me a minute, as a Christian, whenever you forget that you are nothing without God, too many places are praising and building up the congregation to think too much of themselves. Everything we owe, folks, we owe to the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. When you forget and you quit continuing in the grace of God, there's times when we face things. Somebody said, well, how can I deal with this? Why? How can I not be angry? How can I not react like everybody else? Because of God's grace. The Bible says his grace is sufficient, that we can do all things with the grace of God. We continue in the grace of God. When you get out of the grace of God, and it all becomes about you. And when it all becomes about you, it won't be long till you'll break yourself off from the vine. Because it'll be poor, pitiful me. They didn't shake my hand. They didn't do this. They didn't ask me to do that. They didn't recognize me when I did this. And it'll be poor, pitiful me out the door. You got to continue in the grace of God. Remember, you're here because of the wonderful, amazing grace of God. Third thing, look in chapter 14 of Acts, verse number 21. Bible says when they had preached the gospel in that to that city and had taught many, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But you got to continue in the faith. You got to stay within the faith. This idea, well, we all, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as we all, you stay in the faith. The word of God. Not only that, look if you would in Hebrews chapter 13, real quickly. Hebrews chapter 13. Not only do we need to stay in the faith, verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. You got to continue in brotherly love. You know, the Bible teaches us that there is a love that is agape love. It's godly love. It's a love that is above, that's only given to you by God. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. A church ought to always have agape love. We ought to continue in brotherly love. Not that I agree with everything that you do and you agree with everything I do. Not that I don't have my faults and you don't have your faults. Everybody here has faults. But the Bible says charity covereth a multitude of sins. It helps you to overlook those things and love each other. And the Bible says that we are continuing love. I hate, the thing I hate worst in the world is see a church split. And people start taking sides and leave there angry with one another. I hate to see that. Because that tells me that there's some has discontinued to abide with Christ. You say, well, preacher, I didn't like what she did or I didn't like what he did. That's where the love of God. And by the way, God doesn't like what we do many times. But he loves us beyond it. So we got to continue in the brotherly love. Couple more. Look, if you would, two more places. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We want everybody that will to come to the church. That will come and be the right mind and so forth. I did tell somebody the other day, somebody made a threat to come for this. I said, tell them that if they come to interrupt service, and if they come, they've come in for no other reason, I'll have a law to discard them or escort them away. I'll not have anything happen for any reason like that. When you come to this church, you better come with the right reason. You come, and by the way, speaking of that, I just want to mention this in passing. We'll get together here next week or so and have a meeting. Those of you who wants to be part of protecting of this church, we're going to get a security plan together. And I know that some people say, well, I don't think we need it. Well, you never need it until something happens, and then you need it. And then it's too late to get it together. I hate to say we're living in a day and time, and so we need to do something to make sure that some lunatic, some deranged person, some evil person just want to come in here and hurt somebody and maybe just want to hurt everybody for no reason at all. But anyway, we'll do that. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We want people to come, but this is a church. Look, if you would, in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion of light with darkness? What you need to understand is this. We want lost people to come and hear the gospel, but we're not to change this church to appease lost people. We are to stay committed to the word, committed to the task. And if lost people doesn't want to come back, that's their choice. We hope and pray that they would get saved through it. But we are not to change this to attract lost people to come. I've had people when I visited around through here, well, preacher, we go over here on Wednesday night because they don't preach. They let our kids go to the gym and play. And then they'll ask me this, well, on Sunday morning, what games do you have for our kids? I said, Bible study, teaching in the Bible. Well, our kids like to play. I said, that's not what the church was designed to do. And so we have to be unequally yoked. We got to remember that we are separate. We are not the world. We are not to be the world. We are not to attract the world. Last but not least, we are to be, I'll just give you this without turning. The Bible teaches we are to stay faithful. A steward needs to be faithful. When we have, and I appreciate Brother Junior said this morning, when I'm gone, of course me and the last week, me and my family, grandchildren and children was gone, and that takes a pretty good hoe out. But I'm glad to see that other people attended. I'm glad that you don't base coming upon me. And so I'm glad to know that you come. And I've got to say this, for the most part, we have a good chunk of the church that are pretty faithful to the church. And we need to remain faithful to abide in Him. We need to remain faithful for the church and giving and doing the things that's required to do. And I appreciate, you know, just like Jesse picking up. And by the way, when Jesse and Vicky's here and on Sunday morning and so forth, I appreciate Greg, but maybe he needs somebody else since he's doing sound to help count, Brother Junior count the money or something. Those things come in handy and those things are appreciated to do. And I appreciate people just doing little things like that. And I appreciate people just stepping up and taking care. When we were gone the other day, I appreciate people stepping up in our absence and taking care of our classes, taking care of the things that we do. I appreciate that. But folks, listen to me. If we're going to abide, and you're going to be here 10 years from now, you've got to abide in these things if you're going to abide in Christ. And so that's important. Let's stand tonight, if you would. You got a song, Brother Jesse?